From the Firebird Radio Studio, it's the Authors on Fire podcast with nationally syndicated radio host and producer, Pat Rulo.
Welcome to the Speak Up Talk Radio Network, home of the Firebird Book Awards, the Positive Change Podcast Awards Hall of Fame, our newest book song, where we create a unique, one-of-a-kind song just for your book, and of course, this podcast, Authors on Fire. I am Pat Rulo. Today, I am happy to welcome an award-winning author, also a Firebird Award-winning author, and screenwriter, Beverly Gandara, whose works range from empowering biographies to historical fiction and suspenseful thrillers. Beverly brings to life stories of courage, resilience, and triumph, giving voice to those who might otherwise go unheard. Beverly, welcome to the Authors on Fire podcast.
Thank you. It's delighted to be here.
I'm delighted to have you. You're so nice. Oh my gosh, you have written quite across many genres, biographies, historical fiction, suspense, and screenwriting. And many of your works, as we briefly mentioned, focus on giving voice to people who might otherwise go unheard. What drew you to that mission?
People's stories, people I know or knew who have had difficulties. And I thought it was important for them to be able to tell their stories. And I did that with my first book, Concrete Wings. Actually, that one is very close to my heart because it is about my husband's journey from Cuba to America and what he had to endure during the Cuban Missile Crisis back in the 60s, just adjusting to America. And it's an immigration story, basically, but then challenges and eventually success. Loving America, becoming an American, a proud American. I thought it was a lovely story. And that's what inspired me to begin. I actually wrote that as a screenplay. And it was two producers who said, this would make a good book. I had never written a book. So I tried it. I did. And it's been quite successful. It's won several awards, as did the screenplay. And I'm very proud of it. And I'm very proud of my husband. So that really began my writing journey. And from there, I had friends, female friends, who had difficulties, one who had been abused terribly, and I thought her story should be told. So I did that through an interview book about women. And for that, I interviewed 26 professional women in jobs from A to Z, generally dominated by men. And we talk about their difficulties and how they had to overcome whatever it was they were challenged by. And that was an interesting book. That too has won awards, and gratefully your award. Very proud of that. Both books, Concrete Wings and Women, Work, and Triumph, have, you know, talked about people who have gained success, not from what they became, but from what they overcame. Mm-hmm. And that's important to me. Those stories are important to me. So we did have a coming of age story and then a women empowerment story. My next book was a suspense thriller, also about a friend who had been stalked and nobody believed her. So I developed that into a different kind of a book. And my last book was about the LGBT community. I interviewed 25 people from the ages of 21 to 80. And the reason I did that was because one third of my work life was with and for gay people. And I never saw it as a problem of just people. Very nice people. And everybody in this book is a lovely person who would give their right arm to help another person. And they were misunderstood, mistreated. And I thought their story should be told. So I did that with my last book. And that was called When Did You Know and Who Did You Tell? And the thriller was called Soaring in Silence. So they've all been heartwarming, inspiring, lovely stories, in some ways heartbreaking in others, but stories, true stories about people who inspire me and teach me about life and how we grow internally. And I like that. So.
Oh, I love that journey. So you started with your husband, kind of a coming of age historical fiction, and it started as a screenplay and then went to a book. Share a bit about how that evolved from screen to play. Normally, I think it would be from page to screen, right?
It usually is the other way around. But this is easy because each scene in the screenplay became a chapter in the book. And it was easier to write the book because when you write a screenplay, you're limited as to the amount of pages you can submit because it translates to 1 minute on screen. So 120 pages is 2 hours. Now they're asking for less because they can't keep people in the seats, you know, focused so much. People are on their phones all the time. However, if you're writing a screenplay, for instance, and you had to describe a hotel in the middle of Manhattan, an old hotel, maybe a poor hotel, it's just used for bad things, for instance, I would just write seedy and you would get the idea. But in a novel, I can tell you about the torn curtains and the broken windows and the dirty carpet. I have much more room to describe a scene. So it's very different writing. And that was a good challenge for me because I had never written a book, but it was easier for me to convert a screenplay to a book than I think it would be from a book to a screenplay where you have to be very minimal. So yeah, it worked well.
Absolutely. As you saying that, it makes so much sense. It's almost as if the screenplay was an outline for the book.
Right.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. I mean, and it's difficult to have a full-blown book and then cut. I mean, just the cutting process is always so difficult. You're like, what do you get rid of? So interesting. Exactly. Screenplay is basically the outline for an upcoming book. So let's talk about Women, Work, and Triumph, your second book. As you said, it celebrates the resilience of women worldwide, 26 women, I think, that you interviewed. How did you select the women you interviewed? Did you know them or did you put out a call? How did that work for you?
Well, I went with the alphabet and I looked for women that had jobs from A to Z.
Oh.
And I found, believe it or not, a Zamboni driver in Australia.
So,
and I had women from five different countries, different ages, different cultures. And they all talked again about what they had to go through just being women. And it didn't matter what their age was. There were just certain challenges. The first one was an actress, and I went down the alphabet. I have a J for jockey and a T for teacher. I had an undercover FBI agent and lovely women just doing extraordinary things. And it was an interesting journey because when you interview people, it's almost like a confessional. Mm-hmm. And when they start to review their own lives, they realized they had done certain things or didn't do certain things. And it's a very, I'm honored that people would trust me with their stories. Mm-hmm. And some of them are very inspiring. Some are very funny. Some are heartbreaking. And it's the same thing with the LGBT book. Again, I interviewed 25 people there. Similar questions. I asked, and the interesting thing, what I did, I asked everybody the exact same questions. But of course, the answers will be different because their lives are different. Mm-hmm. But they all answered the same questions, which was really interesting. And in Women, Work, and Triumph, I had W for writer, and I had the first one of the original writers on the Saturday Night Live show.
Oh, wow.
And she described a schedule that she had to keep that was incredible. And it was really eye-opening about what women have gone to. I had an aunt, a niece and a cousin in the book, because my niece was a scientist and she gave it up to be a mother. So she's my M for mother. And I'm very proud of her. She's a lovely young woman and still a female scientist, you know, in a man's world. Will have her challenges as well. I had a female rabbi, the first second career rabbi. She had been a teacher first, and then after raising three children, she decided to become a rabbi, and that was an interesting journey. And I had a female jockey who rode under her initials because the men were challenging her, and then she started winning. And, you know, little girl jockey, she wasn't getting the attention she deserved until she rode under her initials. And they didn't know initially that she was a girl, but as tough as the men.
Wow.
You know, they had their struggles, and the stories are fascinating, absolutely fascinating. I have a neighbor who is a quilter, so she obviously is my cue. She married her childhood sweetheart, and I think they just celebrated their 60th anniversary or something. And, you know, I believe everybody has a story, and I think they're all interesting.
Yes.
And once they start to review their lives, oh, I really did that, or I didn't do that, or I want to do that. I think it's important. That's how we learn. We learn from each other. So,
exactly. And what a gift to all 26 of those women to be able to have that opportunity. Did you interview on paper? Was it a written Q&A, or did you actually talk with them and then transcribe it? What was that process?
Well, you asked me if I knew them all. Some of them I knew, as I said, couple were relatives. Those that I didn't know, we corresponded, and I sent them the questions, and we went back and forth. Some were telephone interviews. The writer from Saturday Night Live, I interviewed her on tape. So it's a different format for whoever you're working with.
Right.
But some of them, they become almost so close in a way, because they're talking intimately about their lives. And you do get to, they reveal so much, and then they decide what they want to put in the book or not. And I don't print anything unless they have final say. I would never do that, because you're writing somebody about somebody's life, and you need permission to do that. So it was an interesting process, but basically it took probably a year and a half to gather everybody and time constraints. You know, some people act faster than other people to get the work back to you. It was not a year and a half, but wonderful. It was just a wonderful experience. And I met some lovely, strong women, also different ages, different backgrounds, different countries.
Right.
I would encourage anybody, an author, to consider doing anthology. I've done three, and that the process was different for all of them. For one, I interviewed them all via like a podcast radio interview and then transcribed it. Another one, I did the written Q&A. It's very an intimate relationship with these folks as you go through that process. And so, as I said, it's a gift for those women or for those who are taking part in that anthology, but also for you. I mean, the amount of growth, I would imagine, would be tremendous. And then the relationships that follow also would be lifelong. So something I would highly encourage people to do is to think about putting together an anthology. So the fourth one, when did you know and who did you tell? That was 25 folks in the LGBTQ group. For both of those books, what was your hope for the reader who perhaps might be navigating their own authenticity? What were you thinking from their standpoint? What did you want them to come away with?
Well, there were a couple of things. For people that aren't quite sure or struggling with that question, it was to give them encouragement for those who are already on the journey to know they're not alone. And for those who have come through the toughest of times, some of the stories will tear your heart out. There's such strength to give inspiration to those to move in whatever direction they need to move in, but with support and with understanding and encouragement, particularly, well, I don't sell them to anybody younger than 16. I don't want anybody, you know, these are not children's books by any means, but for people who are struggling, if they can read the stories of others who have come before them, they might be inspired or encouraged or feel a little bit better about themselves. And that's the importance of history, I think. We need to know our history. And if we don't, we're bound to repeat mistakes. And I think that's part of what I do. I want people to know what other people have gone through. You're not alone, in other words. There's always somebody that has shared your journey on some level, and you can learn from them and feel better and know that you're not alone. And that's basically what I had hoped to educate, inspire, and support.
Yep. And you know what I really love is that you probably will never know how many people you inspire and support, because many people will read a book and then not necessarily reach out to the creator of the book. But think of the people that you are touching that, you know, maybe just a turn of a phrase just could be a life-altering moment for them. So always know that what you put out into the world really is being so appreciated, even though you may not necessarily hear back.
Well, that's true. I think most stories, somebody once said to me, all stories are love stories. And in a way, they are. And I love the people I write about. So there's no judgment. I'm just putting out stories as they happen. Mm-hmm. And I'm giving permission to people to use whatever space they need to tell their stories. I don't tell them what to say. I give them the space to say it. And in the two interview books, they all had space for photos that they could share. There was one heartwarming story, probably the most difficult story, about a trans person and how they had just broken from their family. And it was so heartbreaking. Well, by the time we were working on the book, they had made peace with their family, and the parents who had rejected them for so long wanted to be in the book and sent me a photo of them and asked me to include it. And that, you know, things like that touch. And they're now united, and it's a big family, and this person is now part of that family and very welcomed and made peace. But it was a long stretch of disassociation in a very painful way. So yes, for those moments where people have come back together again, I don't present anything with judgment. I just tell stories as they happen.
Right.
And I think people will know that. Once in a while, I will get an email or a note from somebody, particularly with the Women Work and Triumph. In fact, I just sold a book in France, and the man wrote to me and said that he had bought it for his granddaughter, who was 15 turning 16, and she absolutely loved the book because it inspired her. She is a young girl on the verge of womanhood trying to decide what to do in her life, and these women inspired her. And so, you know, you're right, you don't always know. People do not respond, and or not to you. You're right. It's the same thing as you give somebody a smile, you can make their day.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So hopefully these books do that. They're not done with any other
purpose or goal.
Just to inspire, educate, and support, basically. And to tell stories. And these are lovely stories. They're hard Some of them are heart-wrenching, but we all go through things. And if it helps another person, yes, wow, good for them.
But, well, thank you for doing the work that you do. And congratulations to all of the women who have contributed to your books. It's quite a thing. So now we've got the suspense thriller, Soaring in Silence. How was that, or why did that come about? I know you said you had a friend who was being stalked.
Yes.
How was that to write a little bit different than your previous books?
Very different. I had actually written that also as a screenplay, only I did that with a partner. And as the story developed, it's fictionalized about what happened to this woman. And I used, you always write a little bit through your lens. So there's some of you in there. Actually, I lived in Arizona at the time, and I was able to meet people that had similar situations. So I was able to just put it all together, and I have it taking place in Arizona. And it was a true story how she overcame it. And a lot of women who were abused in the past, and I'm talking about 70s, 80s, there were no groups to go to, and they had to keep things quiet. It was a little different many, many, many years ago when women were abused or raped. And that always stuck with me because I had a friend who had been raped. So that's what prompted the story. And in the story, she overcomes her stalker with intelligence, basically, and keeps it to herself. So it's a tough story. The toughest scene to write, of course, was the attack. But I did it. I did it for her and other women to know, to empower them and say, you know, you don't have to take this. You can fight back. Mm-hmm. And that also was suggested. It might be easier to sell to Hollywood if there was a book attached. I said, okay, I'll try. The book, this one I wrote on my own. I didn't write that with the partner, but the screenplay was written with a male partner who, you know, it worked well because he took the role of the stalker.
Right.
You know, there are just so many experiences you can have and all the research you do, you know, so I was able to get the masculine point there. But so the book came out of a screenplay. And again, the screenplay allowed me to expand the story within the book. And so very different writing from interviews. Now, my first screenplay, the one that I won my first award for, was a comedy. And that was the easiest and fastest screenplay to write. And I laughed through the whole process. So I did. It was very funny. I kept laughing. My husband thought I was having a party. And he would check on me. He's very supportive. I'm very lucky. I couldn't have any of this without the support of a loving husband. And, he can do anything while I write except vacuum. That gets me out of the writing mode, but he's encouraging and supporting. And, you know, I began this journey after retirement, so I'm not a young writer. And as soon as I said, I think I might like to try this, he went right to work and got me a subscription to a writer's magazine. And he's been by my side the entire time. And that's why we had this wonderful, loving relationship. And that's what his story inspired me so. And it's my gem in my collection. Yeah. And the screenplay and the book won the most awards. But it's been very rewarding.
And I love that, to have a supportive husband.
Oh, yes.
I had one too. He was there for everything. So it makes all the difference in the world. Basically, write so much emotionally charged material. And then we've got this comedy that's stuck in there too. So that gives you really a different perspective and shows your versatility, which makes me wonder if you have some thoughts or advice for writers who are interested in exploring multiple genres. Any tips or thoughts that you would give about maintaining versatility while still keeping a recognizable voice?
Yes, your writing behavior without judgment. So observe, learn your characters. They can be funny, they can be dangerous, they can be loving and cold. Your writing behavior, so it doesn't matter what genre, just keep your characters interesting. Give them all a habit, a secret, or a particular behavior. I have a friend who ends every sentence with, "You know what I mean?" "You know what I mean?" And so that fit perfectly for a character I was writing. And I said, just the way he talks and walks, that was just perfect. And I once had a neighbor who told me that her husband would eat anything that wouldn't eat him. And I thought that was very funny. So I used that gave it to a character. So just observe people around you. Because if you write alone, everything that comes out of you, and it's all going to sound the same. You have to have your characters sound different when you read them aloud or somebody else reads them aloud. You have to be able to identify your characters. So it doesn't matter whether it's a comedy or a drama, your writing behavior. And I can put the same characters in England in the 1500s or in space the next century. You're writing about love, loss, betrayal. Somebody must want something. Somebody cannot achieve that until there's a change of some kind. And most stories are like that. Somebody wants something, whether it's a job or money or love. And then they face the challenges. That would be the middle of the story. And at the end, there's a resolution. Either they get what they wanted or they don't get what they wanted, but there is a change in the character. And that's what you're trying to convey. So whether it's a comedy or a mystery or a thriller, you pretty much follow a pattern. Just love your characters. Let them breathe. Let them talk to you. And like I say, give them a secret or give them a habit, but don't ever give up on them. And you'll have interesting stories.
There you go. Well, in keeping with your desire to help others, you give back through tutoring through a group called Freedom Readers.
Yeah, it was started by a lovely woman, Tracy Bailey, in South Carolina. She recognized that children's reading skills were not up to standard, and she began this program. It started locally, and now it's nationally. I've had children in Minneapolis, North Carolina, and South Carolina. So it's a very good program. They pair a tutor with a child, generally from the ages of 6 to 10 is the age of the children I've had. I don't think there's anybody much older. And they provide books for the tutor and the child. You read together with the if it's local and you can meet at the library or the school or the church, wherever they have these meetings, I Zoom with the children and we read together. We play word games. I call them word detectives. And it's a wonderful opportunity to get these lovely little open minds to focus on learning. And I'll encourage them to read not only the books that we read together, but for instance, I tell them to read everything they can. If they're having cereal in the morning, read the box of cereal. Tell me where the cereal is made. And one of the kids, I think I eat shredded wheat occasionally. And the little boy I had said his favorite was shredded wheat. So I said, oh, that's mine. He was very confused. He said, I thought that was a kid's food. Well, it is, and I'm ate it as a kid.
Yeah, young at heart.
That's right. So we read the box and he find out where the cereal is made, and then we go to a little bit of geography and we talk about the United States in other ways. So they're not just reading, they're learning. They're learning geography, they're learning math. I give them riddles and we do math riddles because they're just starting math. And it's just a wonderful experience. And the parents or the caregivers, whoever they may be, have been very supportive in my experience to get them into this program. So that's very heartwarming too. And it's just nice to do that, you know.
Yep. So. To give back in every way. You are such a wonderful and inspiring person. Thank you. I'm so happy that we're having this conversation and being able to share a little bit more about you than you would typically find, say, on a website. I want to make sure as we begin to wrap up that we're not missing anything that you wanted to talk about today.
No, I think we covered everything. I can't think of anything else unless you have questions for me, but this has been a lovely conversation.
Oh, well, a lovely conversation with a lovely human. So that was easy. Well, if you would then give us contact information where folks can find you, website, where they can get copies of your books.
Thank you. My books are sold on Amazon under Beverly Gandara. That's Gandara. And my website is bevgandara.com, bevgandara.com. And I'd be delighted to hear from you. I have a page where you can ask me any question or contact me. And my books are there as well with links to Amazon. And I'd be delighted to hear from you.
Wow. Excellent. All righty. Well, I am going to encourage everyone to check out Beverly's books, including some of the ones we talked about today, Women, Work, and Triumph, When Did You Know and Who Did You Tell?, Concrete Wings, her first one, the thriller Soaring in Silence. And again, you can find out more about Beverly and her work at bevgandara.com. Bev, I'm going to thank you so much for sharing your journey, your insights, and your incredible stories with us today. You're a gem. Thank you.
Thank you for a delightful interview. It's been a pleasure.